Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and it's Thanksgiving Eve, and we have lots to be thankful for tonight. So first off, I'd like to be thankful for my co-host and producer, Miss Rachel. Say hello.
Hello, Rachel.
I didn't say hello, Rachel. I said hello. Never mind. It's an ongoing joke with us. And we also, I'm very thankful for our special guest, Miss Vicki Love of Vicki Loves Sci-Fi. What we're going to be talking about today are science fiction movies that we're very, very, very thankful for. So, Vicki, just tell us a little bit about what you're doing. You've got a film going on and shooting and all sorts of stuff. So start with that.
Friday will be our last scene shot at the lake location. And thank goodness we're all very tired of walking that mile there and walking that mile back to our location. And so it's been really great. We started, it was 105, 106, I think, in July, and we're ending with it being 46 degrees and foggy. It's working out really well. So, yeah, the film's going really well. It's to the halfway point, and we're very, very happy about that. And then the other stuff going on is that I'm trying to move to another state, and Lord Almighty, that's a hard thing to do.
Absolutely. And certainly we want to see that happen for you, too. Of course, you'll be closer to the grandchildren and that, and that would be a very good thing, to say the least.
Yes, it would. Yes, it would, to say the least.
I just want to say
that the movie that we're talking about is the movie that Vicki is currently in the process of like directing and filming, and I believe it's called The Lake.
It's called Lake, yeah. No, The
Lake. Not
yep.
The Lake. Just
yep.
Lake. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry I got that wrong, but Lake.
That's okay.
And
it's okay. You know, there's lots of stuff out there that has the before it and then nothing before it. So
Yes, and that is important. So I just want to let everybody know that is the movie we're talking about, and I am still super stoked about finally getting to see it when it comes out.
Well, you know, from what it seems like, we're still very much on our schedule of in 2 years. So I'm really, really happy about that part.
And of course, we do have a couple of podcasts, and we've been doing a series with Vicki on a video, well, actually an audio journal of shooting the film. So sometime like during the Christmas break, we'd love to have you back on, and you can give us a whole update on what's going on with the film.
Right, because we're going to start, the hardest part is, well, I don't know, we'll see. The CGI part where it's just a green screen, we've been out in nature and on location at different places, a really nice mountain resort, and so we're going to see what standing on a stage with a green background is going to be like. Hopefully it turns out okay.
It should be a lot of fun. And again, I applaud you for doing this. You know, we've talked to a lot of first-time filmmakers, and in doing this series with you, not only do we have some great stories, but it also gives our people some idea of what to do and what they need to prepare for and all that sort of thing. So that's really good.
Yeah.
And we certainly want to continue that.
It is definitely a hard thing to do, and it's not for the weak-minded, that's for sure. or the weak body.
Because
I'm telling you,
you are
physically. It's a physical thing. Filming a movie is very physical, and so that's something that a lot of people don't realize. But filming a movie is very physical. And so maybe we'll talk about that next time.
All the equipment back and forth and all of that.
You've got all that to do. It's also you've got to hold the equipment. You've got equipment to hold while the actors are acting. And when the actors have to redo it several times, everyone gets tired. It's hard work. And, you don't just get to go sit down in your cushy chair over there because there's not a lot of places to sit down when you don't have a budget. So,
Very different. So I just want to move on to what we're here for. You and I were talking a week or two ago, and we came up with this idea of being thankful for movies that we love. And, of course, you're a sci-fi person, and you've done several shows of Vicki Loves Sci-Fi. Hopefully we can renew that series here in the near future, because we'd love to have you do some more of that. But for this show, we're talking about movies we love and are thankful for. So I'm going to give it to you, Vicki, and why don't you give us one or two?
Are you talking about, should I give you, I was thinking about this, and we didn't ever really chat about the, are we going to give out popular movies? Are we going to give out,
Gems? It doesn't have to be popular. It's whatever you're thankful for, movies that you love, that you're thankful for, that you saw, and that have an effect on you.
Well,
it doesn't happen.
For the audience, I will help you in finding these movies. Some of them are on Netflix, some of them are Amazon, some of them you have to hunt down. I buy a lot of my favorite films on DVD or Blu-ray. I invested in a nice Blu-ray machine that does all regions. So when I hunt something down, I don't have to worry about, is it from France? Is it from Canada? Is it from French Canadian? You know, the regions are ridiculous. And so I'll mention that, okay, as I go.
Yeah.
One of my favorite films at this time of year, well, I just watched it, is a blending of sci-fi and horror, and that's John Carpenter's Thing. It's one of the scariest, best sci-fi movies, and it didn't start with John Carpenter, of course. There was the 1950s, and a lot of people love that movie also. And unfortunately, everyone loves it so much that you probably won't be able to stream it on anything except a commercial streamer. And commercials in the middle of that movie just ruin it. So I suggest that you either rent it from Amazon or, you know, for $3.99, or purchase the DVD for $15. And enjoy it as many times as you like. But The Thing is one of my favorite films. And I'm just thankful that when John Carpenter decided to go from his very popular other sci-fi movie that I love so much, Escape from New York, that The Thing was next. And he was at the top of his game with these two films. So John Carpenter, The Thing, and Escape from New York are on the top of my, I'm thankful these movies were made, sci-fi.
See, I actually have one to go with that. And you probably don't know this, Vicki, but on the rest of the podcast, most people know that I have a little bit of a thing for The Thing. down to the point that I actually, one of my few, like, action figure, like, pop collections that I have, I have a sculpture of the Thing.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yes, and it's beautiful. It's still in the box. I love it. But sci-fi horror is my favorite thing, and then that actually brings up my favorite sci-fi movie that I am thankful for, and that would be Event Horizon.
Oh, hey! I see. I'm going through all my my DVDs and Blu-rays right now because I'm packing, and here it is right here. I love that movie.
Oh my God! Is it not the best? It's like, because I'm thankful for it, because not only is it sci-fi, it's also a horror film. Like, it's a combination of my two favorite genres. And
yeah,
I mean, just put Sam Neill in anything, and I am totally here for it.
Oh my God. Oh, put him in anything. Well, even that horrible new show on Apple TV.
Oh, what, yeah, call? I have no idea about that.
Oh, yeah, it's horrible. I don't like it. And but they put him in the first episode so we'd all watch, right?
Oh, okay. See?
And it's sci-fi horror, too. Yeah, it's on Apple TV. It's called Invasion. That's what it's called, something like that. And, waiting for it to happen, and it happens the week of Halloween or close to it. And it's really disappointing because don't get me wrong. I love character-driven stories. They're the best. But these are all about these there's no aliens in it. The aliens are coming down and invading Earth and destroying everything. But all we get to see is So-So lost his love. So anyway, Sam Neill was the catch on that.
Okay. So I'm going to go with one, and I know that the two of you are going to react to this. And I absolutely love this movie. And it's, and I'm very, very thankful for Dark City for various reasons. And Becky knows one. But I love this movie. And I'm very, very happy that because of this movie, you and I connected. You know, given time and that sort of thing, we're still connected, and I think that's a wonderful thing. And Dark City,
so
for people
that you've been stealing that movie, by the way.
We'll get to that. We'll get to you in a moment, Rachel. But Dark City is basically a sci-fi noir. Rupert Efford wakes up and with amnesia, and he sees a murdered woman, and he has to figure out what's going on, and it all has to do with aliens, and the city is always dark, and why is it dark, and why are these aliens after him, and why is Kiefer Sutherland so weird? And it's a wonderful film, absolutely fantastic. Fantastic visuals. Alex Proyas' best film by far, and just a great film, and I'm very, very thankful for it.
Well, I have to agree on that. Yeah, I have to agree on the fact that it's a really great film. The idea behind it, I don't want to say the twist just in case people haven't seen it, but the twist is really good. But you think the twist is everything you're seeing in the film because it's so different. The changing of time, the changing of character, the changing of housing, the city itself, all this stuff. The aliens are really alien, and their motivations are pretty alien, the human motivations. So it's really, really, really really a good science fiction, top-notch science fiction. Even Roger Ebert loved it. He considered it the second best film of that entire year, the year that it came out.
You know, the best film of that entire year, the best film it was. That's what it says on the on his commentary on the original DVD. Now, Rachel, I know you love this movie too, so chime in.
Okay, so I actually chimed in earlier, and I wasn't trying to cut you off. Like, I just chime in the background sometimes. But I personally love this movie. It's actually one of the first science fiction movies that I personally owned, like went out and bought, loved it, to the point that part of the reason why is because Richard O'Brien, yes, of Rocky Horror fame, is the lead kind of bad guy in the movie. But I was telling Carl earlier, one of my things that I do, I love this movie so much. It is so intrinsically a part of me that when I'm mad at my kids, I just wave my hand in front of their face and go, sleep.
Oh, that's hilarious. Great.
It hasn't worked for me yet, but I'm trying. I am trying. But yeah, I that is a movie that I am personally thankful for, and I bitched at Carl a minute ago. I was like, oh my God, you stole one of my movies. Like, you know I have a limited selection, but I'm glad that we're all able to talk about it, because that is one that I force people to watch. I actually went out and bought my neighbors a DVD player because the husband of the group told me that he really loved sci-fi movies and needed some sci-fi movies to watch. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Here, let me give you, like, Dark City. Let me give you this. Let me give you that. Right. And then I found out a week later they didn't have a DVD player, and I was like, wait, you haven't watched Dark City yet? I went out and bought them a DVD player so that he
That's
could
so
watch
awesome.
Dark City.
That's freaking awesome.
I mean, that's how you do with movies you're thankful for.
That's true. That's very true. One of my friends, because my number one sci-fi movie of all time is Alien. And when before Prometheus came out, my very good friend Jared, he goes, why don't we have a barbecue at your house? And I'll invite my family, and his family came over, and we barbecued hamburgers, and we watched all three of the first films of Alien. You know, we watched Alien, then we watched Aliens, and then we watched Alien 3. And it's just this thing. When you love your movie so much, you want to share it. Yes, I understand your Dark City obsession.
Yeah, we all have that obsession. We all do.
You have to.
And
you,
so,
you
Rachel,
have to
I think that... Go ahead, John. I'm sorry. Rachel?
She said she was done.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I said I
okay.
was done, babe.
Okay. And so, Rachel, it actually is to you. What movie are you thankful for?
I mean, I'm thankful for a lot of movies in my life because they have really brought me through some hard times. I mean, we talked about Event Horizon. We talked about Dark City. Another one that I'm incredibly thankful for at this point, honestly, and this is a very unpopular opinion. I have reasons that I'm thankful for it, though. Please don't hate me. I love The Island.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't love The Island? I'll punch them.
Okay,
oh
fine.
My God. Thank you.
Okay,
yes,
you can love
it,
George.
Fine. Wait, we want – the island has never been put out in a Blu-ray. And there's a campaign to try to put it out in Blu-ray.
There's a reason it's not out in Blu-ray.
What?
Marl knows
there's
the reason it's not put out in Blu-ray.
Why?
I'm a little pissed off about right now, but I understand it.
Okay, so one of the things about the island, and I'm not really bitching about the film. The film is a good, solid film. However, Michael Bay basically stole it lock, stock, and barrel from an older film by Robert S. Fiveson called Clonus the Parks Whore, or the Clonus Whore of Parks. And so what happened is when the island came out, Fiveson sued, won a seven-figure settlement off the books, and also was able, if you now see any of the film credits, there's a special thank you to Robert S. Fiveson. Also in this agreement was that if it goes to any other group, he gets the amount, he gets a bigger amount of the profits and pay. And that was the agreement. So I don't know if you knew that or not about the island, Vicki, but that's what the situation is with that film. And Clonus the Parks Whore is not a great film by any means, but seriously, the island basically stole it lock, stock, and barrel.
And I didn't know that until just earlier. And I have to reevaluate my feelings on things. But I still think that the island is one of the best modern mainstream dystopian sci-fi films, because dystopian is totally my genre. That's, you know, Philip K. Dick, love me some Philip K. Dick, love everything else, and I know he didn't have anything to do with the island. Blade Runner, things like that, the just really dystopian future. Even Mad Max, maybe that could be considered sci-fi at this point.
Oh, definitely. It is.
And I love them all. And that one is one that I'm able to show people and be like, oh, see, this is what I like. You see this hot bitch that you're familiar with in other movies, Scarlett Johansson? She's in this one. Watch it. It's good.
Right.
So Vicki, we're back to you. Give us a couple that you're really thankful for.
Well, here's, Scarlett Johansson is in one of my favorite sci-fi films of all time, and that's Under the Skin. That movie, I just totally... I was so enraptured by that film. It was like time stopped. I can still remember that afternoon when I watched it. And I was in this bubble. Like, oh, my God. It's the most unusual film ever made, I think, or close to one of those most unusual films ever made. Because trying to come from an alien point of view is really engaging and hard, of course. And so I think it's just a great film. So I'm really thankful to all the people who put it together and those who funded it, because who's going to fund that? And they did. So I really like that film. Scarlett Johansson is one of my favorite actresses, not because of Marvel movies, but I like her in Marvel movies, but she's done so many other things that she's proven her chops, okay?
She
and
does some
under the
real weird shit, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
I love
you
it.
You like that one, Rachel?
I do. I do. I mean, it's very much like the alternative version of Species for me.
Oh, yeah.
which I also loved as a kid when I saw that. Like, that was, like, the hottest, coolest sci-fi movie I had ever seen. Seriously, I mean, that movie is sexy AF, and they did try to continue through another few series of the movies, but that you just can't capture that first beautiful perfection. And I guess, you know, that's not one that I had on my list, but I think Species might be a movie, a sci-fi movie that I am thankful for, because hello, Sexual Awakening.
right, of course. Who doesn't love
that?
Hi, Daisy.
Hi, Daisy. I can't really say too much about Under the Skin because I didn't personally like it. I'm sorry. It's just one of those things. I really don't like the filmmaker. He hasn't made a film that I really like, and it's just something about it. I don't really know what it is. But I do want to mention two films here in tandem. And we've already talked about Philip K. Dick, and we've mentioned him. And Philip K. Dick means a lot to me. He's my favorite sci-fi author, and someone who had an immense effect on me when I was young, reading all the sci-fi. And there have been several good films, you know, that have been done, Blade Runner and so on and so forth. But there are two films in particular that are very, very close to the novels. And we actually had the director, John Alan Simon, on with us on Monday of one of them, and that would be Radio Free Albemuth. And the other one I want to mention is Richard Linklater's Scanner Darkly. These are two films that really capture what Philip K. Dick was talking about, and that Scanner Darkly only has a slight sci-fi sense, but it's really about drug addiction. But Radio Free Albemuth is a dystopian and really, really good, solid adaptation. And for both of those films, I'm very thankful that there are films out there that truly, truly take a look at Philip K. Dick and try very faithfully to transfer what he was talking about onto film. That's nothing wrong with things like what's the Schwarzenegger one, Total Recall, and all
right.
These other ones that were,
and,
you know.
Well,
that's
one of
not,
my favorites
no, knocking those. Go ahead.
Is the Minority Report. I really, really love it. And the reason why I love it is that before we started living our dystopian lives that we have right now, it predicted everything. It predicted exactly all the crap that is going on, the advertising, the pinpoint advertising of algorithms on the internet. I mean, everything except for the precogs. And although they are talking about it in crime, that if you think a crime, you are a criminal, it's fascinating talk. Totally overlord stuff. But Minority Report, I love it because I've read the short story, and it's a lot like the short story. Too bad Paycheck wasn't
more
like.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, it's scary. I've always said that we're living in the Philip K. Dick world right now, and I do believe that.
Well, we are. We don't have androids yet, and they're going to happen, but we live in Blade Runner, except for we're not off-world mining yet, and we don't have the androids. But look at our pets. I was thinking about this the other day, talking to someone, how much it costs to just own a pet, let alone try to raise a child, right? But your pet now, you can get pet insurance. Your dog could have their teeth cleaned. There are dogs out there that have better teeth than I have. and your cats, everything, all your animals can be treated like they treated the robotic animals in the story, Do Electric Dream, Sheep Dream, whatever it's called. I know what it's called, sorry. I do know what it's called. And so,
Dream of Electric Sheep.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, so you're right. Philip K. Dick, among others, I'd say Ray Bradbury, Isaac Asimov, Paul Anderson, really had the pulse of what was going to happen as we moved into the 21st century.
Agreed, and unfortunately, Philip K. Dick is probably the most pessimistic of them all.
Well, that's why they make movies of his stuff. They're trying to
exactly.
get used to it. Mm-hmm. Here you go, peasant. This is your life.
So Rachel, do you have one to add to this? Because I think you do.
Well, I mean, I'm a personal fan of everything Philip K. Dick, and one of my favorites to add, which is barely scraping by with the sci-fi thing, is Waking Life, which is the lengthier film that came out before Scanner Darkly.
Right.
And
right.
I have so many reasons I'm thankful for that movie, one of which is it really got me into esoteric, weird films.
Go ahead. Sorry. Sorry.
You go ahead.
I just packed that one. I was going to mention it if nobody else did. You are so right about the esoteric thing. That's why it bombed at the theater.
It's a very odd film. I love it. And there's actually a section of it that talks about Philip K. Dick. You know, Rachel and I were talking about this earlier, and she said, well, what about this film? And I said, absolutely. No question. Go ahead, Vic.
That one is great because I still to this day I have really, really weird dreams, and I use that film and the rules in that film to figure out if I'm dreaming or not. Like, can I read the clock on the wall? Can I adjust the lights in the room? So that one I'm thankful for because it's helped me a lot with my lucid dreaming, which I do actually do on occasion. So I freaking loved that movie, even though it was weird and I didn't get it the first time. I did, but I didn't. And then I bought a copy of it and had to keep rewatching it. And, yeah, I bought a copy of it on VHS. There's that.
Okay, so Beck, we're back to you.
Okay, here's an oldie, but a real goodie, if you like time travel. And I love time travel. I was talking with a friend earlier today about, you know, Doctor Who's the longest running sci-fi show in TV and in the history of TV. And there's all sci-fi, no matter what if it's a long-running television show, it usually touches on time travel. And then there was also the time tunnel way back in the 1960s. And so time travel is a really unique thing, probably can't do it, blah, blah, blah. But there's this one film that is so good. And it takes that time travel thing into a and everybody's little regret here and there into account. Plus, it uses animation and a great frickin' soundtrack that I love and bought way back in the day. and that's Run Lola Run. And it's just, it's borderline fantasy science fiction, but nonetheless, it's time travel and it's science fiction.
I remember you seeing that and talking to you on the phone about that, how
yeah.
much you love that movie. And I agree. That's a great film. It's a great film. Directed by Tom Twyker, German.
It's a German film.
Go ahead.
You can run it in German or you can run it in English. You might be able to run it in French too, but it was originally filmed in German.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's basically it's this woman trying to get to her lover before something happens, and there are like three or four times that she repeats. So it's a repetitive time thing. It's sort of like almost like Groundhog Day or one of those where you get to repeat and try to fix what you're supposed to do.
It is that, but it's more than that. That's why it's so good, is that every single time when she finally catches on that she's trying to change time to do the things right this time, each time is different. Each time things change. And she knows it and then she doesn't know it all at the same time. And so that's what makes this film so fun and unique, I think.
Oh, I agree. Rachel, do you know this film at all?
I do not, honestly, and I feel really bad because it gets brought up a lot on the ISF page, but I haven't seen it yet.
It's fun.
Well, go ahead, babe.
Yeah, it's fun. You would like it.
It reminds me of, like, another one that I'm kind of thankful for that's a more mainstream sci-fi movie. I'm thankful for a lot of mainstream sci-fi movies because it gets people that I know and love into watching weird freaking sci-fi with me. But, like, Looper.
Oh, yeah, that's on the list, on the big list.
That is on the big list. Thank you. I own that one because A, Josh Hartnett, like let's just not even go there, and we've got some Harrison Ford.
How about have you ever watched Penny Dreadful?
Oh yes I have.
Oh,
I actually just recently binged that one.
Oh man, I'll just watch it because I need my fix, right? Oh my gosh.
Yes. So Looper is great, not only actor-wise, but you know, sci-fi movie-wise, with the time travel and everything, it's pretty incredible how they do everything.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's one that I'm thankful for because, again, I'm thankful for a lot of domestic sci-fi that gets other people into watching weird sci-fi with me.
I agree. I'm on your page.
See, I knew it. I knew the two of you were on the same page. I really did. I don't have a time travel movie. I mean, I could say one word and Vicky will just go screaming, and that word would be primer, but we won't go there.
because it didn't make any of the lists. I'm telling you, that movie is not as good as people think it is. It doesn't make the list anymore.
Well, let's just say I love it, but it also made my head hurt. But I didn't put that. I'm going to go with something just silly and something that I saw many, 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 many years ago and I love. And God knows how much drugs were on this set of this movie. But I'm not even going to say the name. I'm just going to tell you the star, Sean Connery and a red jumpsuit. Okay.
Start on.
Do we know which movie I'm talking about?
Zardoz? What?
Yeah.
Rachel.
Absolutely.
Rachel said it, so I don't have to.
Yeah.
is that a thing? Is that a movie anybody's ever heard of ever on the ISF page ever once? Zardoz, guys. Zardoz. Also, have you ever heard of Eraserhead?
No, never. I don't even know who David Lynch is.
I know,
you know,
right?
Zardoz is one of those movies on ISF that everyone posts. And in fact, David Winnington, who runs the group and is the grand poobah, basically has nixed it. But I love this movie. And all I'm going to tell you is one quote. And this quote I have said for over almost 50 years now. And that is God in show business too? Which is part of the beginning monologue from Arthur Crane. Just watch it. You'll never ever, you'll probably curse me. I don't care, but I love that fucking movie without a doubt. And I'm so thankful for that film because that really showed me how weird sci-fi could get in film back in the 70s. So there you go. So do you guys want to say anything about Zardoz or should we just move on?
I don't have anything to say.
You ever heard of Eraserhead?
Okay. You know which, and you know what? It's my Thanksgiving movie. All right. I always watch it every Thanksgiving, either the day before while I'm cooking or the day after. And that is The Fifth Element. I freaking love that movie. It's got, you said silly? It's got silly in it. It's got love in it. It's got fantastic colors in it. I mean, it's like an acid trip, actually. I mean, it's got a big blue woman who sings and everyone gets mesmerized and she has things in her body. I mean, come on. It's just got everything. It's got Gary Oldman in it. I mean, it's got Mira in it.
Good.
It's got great silly aliens. It's got scary aliens. It's got the end of the world. It's got the greatest president ever. It's just got everything. It's got a casino in the stars. It's got it's everything. Multipass.
And Vicky, just to remind you what I think of Blue Women.
Multipass.
Right?
What?
So Vicky, just to remind you what I think of Blue Women, right? So I'm with you on this. There's a blue woman in
yes.
it. I love the movie.
Right.
Her name is the Diva Plava Laguna.
That's her name.
Get it straight, buddy.
That's right. You can't just love
and
her.
Also,
you have to love the whole thing.
I'll tell you what. It is the movie that made me love Mila Jovovich. Seriously.
Oh, yes. Well, I already
no
loved
question.
It before.
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
not the Resident Evil movies where she looks like she has midget fist nipples, but not even going to go there. Yes, I have loved Mia Jovovich for a long, long time. And, you
yeah.
know, she did actually end up marrying Luc Besson for many years. And I love The Fifth Element. Carl, you have seen it. Vicky, you probably have not. But I have a few very special prints that were made by a wonderful artist. And one of them was The Fifth Element. And it's got, like,
oh,
all
man.
Of the main characters. And I'll have to send you a picture of it later. I don't have it here with me because I'm in a temporary living situation. But, yeah, Fifth Element, total great pick. Total great pick. That is one of my favorite movies, just not sci-fi movies, but one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yep. It's so, just...
And a woman recently actually sang the full opera from the diva Plava Laguna with no instrumental help.
Isn't that, can't you find that on YouTube? Because I saw that.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It is on YouTube,
and it is glorious and wonderful because if you go back and watch the movie, which I've done recently because I introduced it to both of my kids, and they both love it. Yay, me. I win at life. If you go back and watch the movie, you can tell where it kind of goes synthetic. But someone recently was finally able to reproduce it without help. So, yes, it is on YouTube. I don't know who it is, but I will find out.
Cool. Because it's worth it, especially if you love the movie. And if you look, you know, there's so much science fiction out there that before, say, 2005, that was really silly stuff, but The Fifth Element takes that silly stuff and makes it serious silly, and all the actors are on board with it, and so it just makes it just a great movie. I've never heard anyone say they don't like it unless they're one of those grouchy old people who don't like anything.
Just to make sure everyone knows, I also love this movie very, very much. It's just so much fun, and it's well worth watching, and just a great little film.
Right.
Seriously.
That's why I'm so thankful for it.
Agreed. Definitely agreed. Okay, so it's Rachel's turn.
Yes.
Rach?
Yes?
Go for it. It's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
Okay, can I tell you another one that's also a mainstream sci-fi movie that I'm really thankful for, but please wait until I tell you why.
I'll probably love it
anyway.
The Martian.
Yes! I just defended this movie the other day. Please let me know because I had to defend it to people the other day. It's not sci-fi. What? Oh, I hate
We're
going to
science
what?
The shit out of this. That is the reason I love this movie because I literally saw a shirt at a freaking grocery store 2 years ago that said, we're going to science the shit out of this. And I was like, what is that about? And my now ex was like, oh, it's the movie The Martian. Have you not seen that? And I was like, how have you even seen that? But okay, sure, let's watch this movie. and I bought it. And yes, I wish I could find that shirt now because I really... We say that a lot in my family. We're going to science the shit out of this.
Yeah, that film is really good. I even bought the book for both of my sons that year for Christmas. I'm like, you love the movie? Here, read the book. Because they're both book readers. Thank goodness.
Because you're awesome like that. And see, I haven't read the book yet. I don't even care. Mm-hmm. The book is probably going to be better than the movie. And I want it, but I can't get it from my library right now because obviously it's been checked out for like 100,000 weeks. So I have the movie, and I love the movie, and I want a T-shirt, but that's one that I'm thankful for because, yay, it's a space movie, and it makes
it
people
is.
Realize that Elon Musk's ideas about going to Mars aren't necessarily that great. But that's a definitely a different podcast.
Ah, good. Good. So I'm going to go with a film that I think is forgotten, but it, right now it is getting some cred. It is a film that they finally found the original ending to about 3 or 4 years ago. It's also my second favorite sci-fi film of the 1970s. The
I know what you're going to say. No, go ahead.
Called
Sorry.
Phase 4. And Phase 4 is basically there's something that happens on the sun and it affects the ants.
The little ones.
And so they send out somebody to check it out. These two scientists, and it gets really, really creepy and really scary, and it is a fantastic movie. And when it was originally done, it was directed by Saul Bass, who's best known for his title sequences and things like The Manchurian Candidate and various others, Dr. Strangelove. And he directed this film, but MGM didn't like the ending, which was very 2001. And so they cut it considerably. And about 4 years ago, they found the ending. And now the French Blu-ray has the ending, the original ending. And it is a magnificent film. If you have not seen it, please do. I've been trumpeting this film ever since I first saw it in 1974 on HBO. Got to watch this. Vicki, do you know Phase 4?
Of course I do. We've talked about it before.
Yeah. So what do you think of Phase 4?
Okay. Here's the thing about me and bugs. We don't get along, and I just rather use some insecticide. So I don't watch bug movies. When Wang's Chop put out the 2 years ago about, hey, we want you to write about bug movies. I'm just like, can't do it. I'll try, but I can't. And I tried and I couldn't do it because bug movies just are not for me. So, I mean, it's a great sci-fi movie. It's got a great premise and everything, but I'm not going to sit down and watch it.
Okay. I do have to at least say that the bugs in this movie, the ants, are real size. They are small. It's not like them from the 50s.
Right,
okay?
Which makes it even scarier.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, if you've ever read the story, and I can't remember the name, I taught it in school one time. It was in our anthology to ninth graders of all. Well, people, the story of the red ants, the fire ants in South America who come across the plantations and eat everything, including your house and your home and your bones, not your bones, your flesh. And it's a story about a farmer who says, I'm not going to give up my farm. And he fights a valiant fight and loses in the end. And it's a great short story, and it's creepy as hell. And so that movie is a lot like that story. And, there's real-life ants like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust me, it is. It's a scary film. There's no question about it. What do you think? Do you know this film, Rach? Rachel?
She might be cooking.
Yeah, I guess she's cooking. Okay, never mind.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not cooking right now. I'm sitting outside and smoking a cigarette. And no, I'm not as familiar with that movie as I should be.
But it's definitely one to watch, that's for sure. So, Vicki, you got another one for us that you're thankful for?
Yes, I do. I do. I love this movie, and this is another one that I put on my yearly list, and I usually watch it during one of the breaks, either Thanksgiving or winter break from work, and it's Sunshine, and it's a Danny Boyle movie. It came after 28 Days Later and 28 Weeks Later, and it stars some of the same people in it, and it's just a wonderfully creative film that has what Rachel likes in it, and that's it. It combines science fiction with horror, and you don't even expect it until it happens, just kind of like Event Horizon. And so I love Sunshine for all the science in it. The science is pretty good up to a certain point. The sun can lose energy. If the sun put out 2% less energy than it does right now, we would become a snowball. The earth would freeze. And so what's happening in Sunshine is that the people that are, and this is the second flight to the sun. The first one ended in disaster and nobody knew why. And so they're trying to get to the sun to send in a nuclear whatever, because, you know, we're humans and we think a nuclear bomb will fix everything. So they're going to explode a nuclear bomb inside of the sun because the sun isn't as big as you think it is, and start the sun back up again. And so some of the science is good. The spaceship is good. What do you think? Rachel, have you ever seen this movie?
Well, I've seen it. It's a good, solid film. Oh. There's no doubt about it. And not one of my favorites, I think, probably because of what happens at the end and where they go with it. But still, up to that point, it's very solid. And I know it's one of your favorites for sure, Vic.
Yeah. Well, it was Chris Evans in it before he became Captain America. And all I can say is Captain America made him really great.
you know, I'm just saying that you know, talking about Josh Hartnell and now Chris Evans, you know, you ladies may want to stop drooling here for a while. I'm just saying.
We can't help it. We can't help it. Sci-fi is full of really nice-looking guys. I mean, come on, Sam Neill, Lawrence Fishburne, I love him. All the other guys in Event Horizon are just – the same can be said for Sunshine and so.
Well, good. That's true. So Rachel, are you with us now? I think she's cooking, so that's no problem.
Yeah, that sounded like a man's voice.
No, I'm here. I just I'm sorry, guys.
It's okay. It's Thanksgiving week.
Exactly.
It is actually my Thanksgiving today, so everybody out there listening, I'm cooking Thanksgiving food, and we just had some people show up at the house, so I am so sorry that I am a little distracted, but there are so many movies that I'm thankful for.
Okay, so tell us one now that you're here.
Now that I'm here, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna tell you how thankful I am for the anime that my daddy made me watch when I was younger.
Okay.
I am thankful for Gundam and Project Echo and thankful for Dragon Half and all of that. That's like sci-fi fantasy realm, but yes, I am thankful for all of that because I have met a lot of really wonderful people through anime fandom. And I am thankful for every freaking weird anime movie I watched as a kid.
Well, anime is definitely is a wonderful thing. There's no question of that. And I certainly love a lot of animes, too. And I know, if I'm not mistaken, Vic, that you're a big anime fan also.
Yes. And, you know, I started watching it when I was in college, at City College, not at university. And I used to do my homework and turn on anime. Just, I don't know why, help me study. But once I became a mom, that's when, you know, the explosion of Japanese anime came over across the big ocean over here. And so I have to thank my sons also for keeping me in it. Because not only was I watching it before they were born, but the explosion of its popularity was happening when they were boys. And so I think I've been watching anime since the 1980s, early 1980s. So, yeah, good one, Rachel. Good one, because it's all sci-fi, all of it.
Yeah. Yeah,
how much
I
space?
Yeah, and there's a lot of fantasy and things like that, and certainly, you know, you talk of things like Akira, Perfect
Definitely.
Blue, which I friggin' love. Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. Okay, so I think it's my turn, and I'm going to talk about the movie that I saw when I was 7 years old that absolutely scared the living crap out of me, and I couldn't rewatch it until I was in high school 10 years later. And I saw this movie on Chiller Theater in Pittsburgh with Chili Billy Cardelli. And it is a movie that really affected me, and it showed me what, you know, science fiction films from the 50s could do. And this was actually made the year I was born. And that film is Fiend Without a Face. Now, you can argue and say that's kind of stupid and so on and so forth. And it's got hopping brains. But I'm telling you, seven-year-old scared the living shit out of me because you don't see those until the end. And so everything is attacked. It's really economical. It's so good that Criterion came out with a version of it years ago. And
right.
If Criterion did it, it's a damn good movie. So what's your thoughts? Yeah, absolutely. I'm justified. No question about it. So Vicki, what do you think of Fiend Without a Face?
Oh, well, you know, I think it's kind of silly and everything, but you're right. And you can, save this little podcast because it's the only time I'm ever going to say it is you're right about this movie. And I was wrong to dismiss it as I did years ago because I was being a sci-fi snob. And so it really does absolutely belong in the sci-fi genre as a pretty scary old 1950s movie.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say, two things to argue. One thing is that for its time, it's probably the scariest of those type of films and the grossest of those type of films at that point in time. But the other thing is when David Cronenberg seriously thinks about remaking it, but then finally decides to remake The Fly, yeah, there's something to it, without a doubt. It also had
right.
a very, very big influence on Night of the Living Dead, too. So yeah, it's a great film. What do you know the film that I'm talking about, Rachel?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, Rachel, so do you know Fiend Without a Face? Have you ever seen it?
I have not.
Well, it's definitely one to see. They actually, like in Looney Tunes Back in Action, they did a takeoff on it. But it's hopping brains that basically attach to your spine and suck out your spine and your brains. It's wonderful. And silly.
Yeah,
and
it's
just
kind of
great.
Horror. Kind of sci-fi
yeah.
horror.
Absolutely.
And we know
sci-fi
I love
horror.
Sci-fi
no
horror. I'm totally into that.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
certainly this is one that you would like.
I would think so. It is a little on the silly side, but it's also really good for its time. No doubt about it. It really is. So we're back to you, Vic. You got another one for us?
Yeah, I'm going to get into a popular movie that nobody likes. Well, some people like it. I mean, Ray and I were just talking about it again on in Facebook, and I love it for so many reasons, and then there's also the reasons to hate it, but good old Ray, he can always find something, and so I'm really thankful that he searches things out and gets obsessed with them sometimes, and so this movie, I'm very thankful for Prometheus, and Prometheus, yes, irritates a lot of people because it wasn't the alien movie they wanted, but it was an origin story, and it did explain a lot of things that were going on with the Whalen Corporation, which was the corporation that was involved in the entire mining system and all. But the thing about Prometheus that I really love are the ideas that it generates, and Michael Fassbender, of course, because the whole Android David story is, I think, the cautionary tale that nobody tells anymore, or not anymore, but the cautionary tale that we're not listening to. That's what I meant to say. So, yeah, I love Prometheus. I'll watch it. I'll watch it this week before I go back to work because, I don't know, I just love it. It's also visually pretty stunning. I like the visuals. And I will skip over a couple parts of it. I'm not a big fan of the gooey medical part. And so sometimes I'll just leave the room or I'm not a gooey person.
That's actually quite understandable. Mm-hmm. To say the least, I would agree with you on that.
But, you know, I'm really grateful for it because it revived the Alien franchise in a way that I never thought would be revived. And so this whole pre-story, you know, the backstory of the android and the two movies, Covenant and Prometheus, but then also if you watch the show on HBO, Raised by Wolves, which also is about androids, the tie to the alien realm in our galaxy is there. And so there's lots of speculation and lots to think about. And so I'm very thankful for that film. 2012, so there's been a lot of time to produce lots more stories.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of that particular film, but there are good things about it. I just think some of the decisions that some people make just don't make any sense. But that's me.
Yeah, that is true.
That's me.
I actually saw that movie. It was one of the first movies I saw as an adult in 3D.
Oh, wow.
And apparently my eyes don't work well for 3D, so that movie did not do well for me.
Yeah, we had the choice to see it in real D, and so we chose that instead of the 3D.
Well, we had the choice too, but the person that was taking me to the movie, he has passed away now. So, God rest you, Alex. Love your face. He is the person that I used to go see movies with a lot as an adult, and I saw that movie in 3D, and it was one of the first 3D movies I ever saw, and it did not do well for me. Like, it made me so sick. Could have been because we, like, snuck drinks into the movie. It could have been a lot of other things, but really I think it was because I have seen other movies in 3D in my life, and they also have not worked well. My eyes do not like 3D glasses, but I also was not as familiar with the Aliens. You know, series.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people like it as a standalone film just because, you know, it's got the horror part and all of that. But I like it because it ties into, I'm one of the only Alien fans that thinks that it ties into the whole other series, Alien and Aliens.
Oh, no, you are not. Alex was the same way. He spent the next, you know, like 4 or 5 hours after that movie explaining to me how it tied into the Alien series. So you are definitely not the only one. You just may be the only living one.
Oh, well, I love that. And Alex, if you're listening, wherever you might be, beyond the rim, kindred souls here.
Nice. So I'm going to go with a film that I love. I guess you would call it a science fiction comedy strangeness. But all I have to say is this. Wherever you go, there you are. And that, of course, would be Buckaroo Banzai. I saw this movie, and I knew it was going to die
from
box up because this movie was made for me. It was literally made for me with all the hidden puns and all the strangeness and the spaceships, which are so weird, and the black electroids and the red electroids, and John Lithgow, and or something coming over this loudspeaker. Lithium is no longer available for credit. I mean, seriously, this movie was made for me. I love it to death, and I'm so thankful that some weird person made this movie, and that would be W.D. Richter. So go ahead, Beck. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, no. Gosh. Who would think that there's anything wrong with, I mean, they're even talking about starting up another Buckaroo Banzai, either a film or a TV series, okay, with everyone who's old now. Okay? That's crazy. But that's what they're talking about.
Because that would be wonderful.
So great.
Yeah, and I got to say that everybody on there, and I got to give real credit to John Lithgow. who is one of our best actors, by the way. But his Dr. Emilio Lazardo, he just goes for it. He does not, you know, he just goes for it. It is beautiful. It's just, I love this movie with all my heart.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
But really good film. So anyway, Vicki, got one more for us before we start thinking about calling it a night and letting Rachel cook?
Okay, let's see. You know, I have lots of them that I just like to mention because I just love them. I love to watch them. They're just, I don't know if I'm thankful for them, but I love to watch them. And I just want to say, I love Battle Los Angeles. I love the whole scene where they're all, you know, the Marines, they think they're on leave and they have to be called back because something's happening. Nobody's telling them what's happening. And then the aliens just start crashing down in the Pacific Ocean just off the coast, and they start coming on to the beach, and it's like Normandy, only it's us being invaded, and I just think that's just so damn cool. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to see it in real life. That's why it's cool in the movies. And then, like, Pandorum, I'm not grateful for that movie, but I really like it because it has such a weird twist in it. Maybe it doesn't make sense until you watch it five times, but it's fun. And it's also got that mixture of sci-fi and horror. And so I guess those two are really closely related. But the one movie that I went to see with my friend Jared is the movie called Life. And that is one of the things that I think is so possible of happening. And that's why I like this movie. They find something that looks like life on Mars. And so since none of us humans are on Mars, we let our robots do everything, and they send the sample back. And they send the sample back to the space station because they don't want, and this is a different type of space station, not our ISS. It's a different one. And so I guess it's in the future a little bit. And they send it to the space station because they want to, you know, check it out before it comes down to Earth, right? Which is a good idea, but still sending it all the way back to Earth is the wrong thing also. And it's so the premise is totally scary. And then the worst possible thing happens. And so Life, I like it because it twists. It kills one of the actors I hate so much, but like him in a couple of roles. It's a good film. It's a good science fiction. And my friend Jared, who's much younger than I am, he loved it, and it scared the pants off of him. So I'm jaded and old science fiction, seen lots of it. But the younger generation loves this movie, Life. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal in it.
I actually have seen it, and I think it's really, really good. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100% on that.
I have not seen it, but I am so excited to go watch it later. So
yeah, it's Amazon. If you have Amazon, it was.
I do.
It was for free for a while. I don't know if it still is. So you can check that out. It won't rent there. You know, it'll be like $4, $5 to rent, but it's definitely worth it. It'll keep you going to the end.
Yep.
Well, I'm
so Rachel, you got one or two to end up with here?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I mean, I have some sci-fi movies that aren't really sci-fi movies.
Okay, go for
it.
Go for it.
Okay, give me a second. I'm cutting an onion right now.
Yeah, watch out. They're strong. I cut one yesterday. Oh. I mean, oh, wow. It was made me cry.
Oh, they're trying to do that to me right now.
What's Thanksgiving without onions and crying over onions? Come on.
Oh, my God. So some of the ones that I'm really thankful for, I'm really thankful, even though I did not like the version that they did of it, thankful that it came out at all, is the Wrinkle in Time series.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because I love those books, and I have all, like, five of them. There's actually, like, five of them.
And so don't you think that there are some parts that are good, and then some parts kind of just let you down?
Yes. Yes. I'm thankful that the movies came out because it made my eldest kid read the rest of the Wrinkle in Time series.
That's good.
And I went and watched that with them in the theater, but I'm also a little pissed off because they weren't that great.
I agree with you.
You know, it's unfortunate that you run into the films like that, but at least you can applaud the efforts, you know, that
right.
They tried. Even if it's not a good adaptation, at least they gave it
a
shot.
That's like Prometheus. I mean, it's not that, and everyone, you know, got angry with Ridley Scott, blah, 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 and if you buy the special edition, you'll see the scenes that he cut out, which would have made it a better movie. I'm just happy he put it out, just like Rachel.
Yeah.
That's, you know, at least we have something,
I'm happy
right?
that it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm going to just mention three films to end up here. The first one I have to say is my favorite all-time science fiction film. And it's a film that I love. They actually did an American remake of it, which was not bad, actually. Steven Soderbergh did that.
Right.
But I'm talking about the original,
right.
I'm talking about the original Solaris by Tarkovsky, 1972. I'll still say I know who my visitor is going to be. That's all I'm going to say. It's a movie that really is about loss and regret, and it's a great film. I'm also going to mention what I consider probably the, if not the first science fiction film, which it's not, but the first science fiction silent film feature, and that would be Metropolis, which I've seen several times, and I just love it. And to this day, you know, 100 years later, it is still stunning to watch. And that's a film I'm really thankful for, because another reason we just did Noirember, and it's the German Expressionism that gave us all those wonderful noirs that we talked about this month. So I'm very thankful for Metropolis. But I got to give one more film that I love. And I saw, I must have been about 11 or 12 when I saw this. It was probably early 70s. And I saw it on TV. And it's Quatermass in the Pit, which is also known as 5 Million Miles to Earth. It's the third of the Quatermass movies, English films, and it stars Andrew Keir. And there is this, they find this thing at an old subway stop in London, and they go check it out, and it ends up being a Martian spaceship that starts controlling people. And for a 60 sci-fi film, this is probably like the second or third best of the decade. And I love this movie. And it does not end exactly well by any means. It's a very, very dark film for the period. There are the other two films that were done in the 50s, but they used American actors as Quatermass, but this one they used a Scottish actor, and it just seems to work very well. Also, these were all written by Nigel Neal, one of the great British sci-fi writers, who also gave us Halloween 3, by the way. It's a movie that I'm incredibly thankful for. So to finish up, Vic, what do you think of Quatermass in the Pit, otherwise known as 5 Million Miles to Earth?
Oh, I really love it. I love all of them. And so I just think that the whole idea, it goes to what I was just saying about the movie Life. Mars is actually a dead planet. And it's had a very violent past that we don't know anything about, and it just sparks some really great stories. Imaginations go wild when you think about the planet. So there are some really wonderful stories out there that have been made into movies about Mars and what might happen if humans and the planet ever, mix. So yeah, I love those. And Nigel, what's his last name? Nigel
Neal.
Who wrote
Neal?
Oh, Neal. Thank you. I think he wrote a couple of Doctor Who episodes.
Oh, he certainly did. No question.
I've been running through them. I'm at the very end of the Tom Baker right now, and so the thing is that I think some of my favorite older classic Doctor Who was written by him. And so, if you like classic Doctor Who, search out Nigel. And what's his last name again? God, I don't know why I can't think of it.
Neal.
Neal.
Nigel Neal. K-N-E-A-L-E. K-N-E-A-L-E.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. I don't know.
It's okay.
I'm losing my mind. But also the Solaris. I just want to say that I love both Solarises, but I like the Soderbergh one because I love the soundtrack. I bought the soundtrack. This new version of Dune that's out right now, I never thought I'd be so thankful for David Lynch's version of Dune until I watched that boring 2.5 hours of Dune. But Hans Zimmer was all up in our faces about his great soundtrack, that he was going to this whole new way of using instruments and blah, 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 blah. You know what? Listen to the Solaris Soderbergh soundtrack. And then you're going to hear some really unique sounds and a beautiful soundtrack to go with that story. And so, I'm grateful for that.
I'm a big fan of the Soderbergh. I think he did real well. He pared it down to a personal regret as opposed to regret for losing your country, which is more what Tarkovsky goes for. And neither of those adaptations did Stanislaw Lem like, which he wrote the original novel that those are based on. But nonetheless, I love them both, but I'm much more akin toward the Russian one. I just have this Eastern European soul, I guess, whatever.
You're German.
So, yeah, that's true.
Who can blame you? You're
that's
German.
Yes, I am. Jawohl. Rachel, any last ones you want to mention?
I do not. Not currently, because you guys have gone over a lot of my favorites.
Well, good, good. I want to thank Vicki for coming on. And Rachel, thanks so much for spending the time, and you've been cooking.
Yeah.
So what have you been cooking? What are you going to have for Thanksgiving here? I guess she's busy.
I would imagine so. I mean,
yeah, I
think
she's busy. We'll talk later, Rach. Vicki, thank you very much for spending the time with us today and telling us all these movies that we're all thankful for. Really appreciate it. Now, before you go, please give us info on your movie and your websites and all that sort of good stuff.
Oh, okay. The movie's called Lake, and we are at the halfway point of filming it right now, and we are our own. I'm the producer, and my son wrote the screenplay, and he's directing it. Our website is Upsilon 5. That's a UPSILON with a capital V .com if you want to find us, see what we're doing. And I haven't updated. I've been working my butt off in this COVID, whatever you want to call it, school time. So I haven't really updated it much. But if you want to talk to us about the film or about what we're doing and how we're making it, you can drop us a line there. We're always talking to each other. And so that's how you find us. We're hoping to be finished for the festivals in 2023. That's our goal. So that's our film.
Okay, good. Well, I'm going to say good night for Rachel and good night for myself and Vicki again. Thank you very, very much for coming on. I do want to just say very, very briefly what's coming up. We've got, on Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, Adam Ferenc will be doing the Cathode Ray Mission and the films with Christoph Kieslowski. Also on Saturday, Rachel will have another episode of Down the Rabbit Hole, and we're going to start our Christmas music extravaganza. Or anti-Christmas music extravaganza, however you want to talk about it. And we'll have TC on, and that's going to be done on Saturday afternoon because we have to do a little bit of finagling around Rachel's schedule. But nonetheless, that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to say, let's say goodnight. And again, thank you very much, Vicki, for being on with us.
Oh, yeah, it was my pleasure. And happy
All
Thanksgiving,
right.
Everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. All right, and we'll see you
happy
later.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yay. All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night.